Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 13 minutes to 2 on Radio Islam, meeting way 1548. And with me in the studio is Mufti Afzal Ilyas, our guest. And inshallah, this afternoon we'll be talking about Ramadan, taking on any queries pertaining to Ramadan as well as Zakat. This afternoon has been dedicated specifically to Zakat. Any queries, but remember any other calls. And we've already had two questions being put to us, one at an earlier program and one a caller calling in. And also engineering for us is Maulana Ibrahim Ismail, and be taking on your calls. Yusuf Asmalji also in to help us along this afternoon. So we have a full team. I'm Ismail Vriyava, your host for this particular program. And inshallah, we hope that we can answer many of the queries and questions that come through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yesterday, I already called the program. We've had a caller who wanted to ask a particular question pertaining to following with the radio, and I said that this would be the appropriate forum as we're talking medical issues earlier on, and I thought we could expand on that particular subject. The caller wanting to know about following an imam at home, that would be the ladies or anyone listening to a live a recitation of the Quran and the Taraweeh. For example, Radio Islam at this moment in Ramadan, we are beaming from a particular masjid, and the people at home may be listening in. Is it permissible for them to follow that imam in Salah?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Concerning following the imam, few points have to be borne in mind. It is written in basic kitabs like Nur al-Iza that the follower must exactly know in which position the imam is in, number one. Secondly, that they should be continuous saf. That means the rows must be continuous in nature. Now when we listen to the Taraweeh, or we listen to some Farz Salat over the receivers, even many places where the Salat is transmitted to the homes via the Bilal, the receivers, etc., there is no continuation of the Saf. But this we should worry about, especially when we go for Umrah and Hajj also. A lot of times people just go to the Haram, or they want to follow the Imam of the Haram from the hotel room itself, whereas there is no continuation of the Saf. When there is continuation of the Saf, then if you can get the Imam's voice via a transmitter, it will be permissible, provided you are now linked up to that very Imam that you are followed by continuation, physical continuation of the rows of the Saf. As far as the Taraweeh be broadcast from a masjid, or some strange people even are trying to follow the Taraweeh and eat Salat of the Haram Imam via the television too, that is absolutely strange and ludicrous, to follow the Salat via the television station. There is no continuation of Saf there, and this is a broadcast. There is no live linking, absolutely. So a person should not do that. I want to mention here about those people going for Hajj, that sometimes when you go there, especially during Juma time and it is hot, then you get a few people saying, no, you don't have to go to the Haram, you just come out of your hotel room and stand on the pavement and you can hear the Haram Imam, and you follow the Haram Imam. If there is no physical row linking, your Salat is not valid, your Juma is not valid. However, during the latter times, especially after first of Zilhajj, then you will find that the Haram is in Makkah al-Mukarramah overflowing, and there is linking. So you can link up by row, and especially if you're on the sides of the Hilton in the Misfala area, and also in Shubaika area or Shamia up area, you are able to link up physically by rows to the Haram Imam. Then it will be permissible.
JazakAllah for that. The number to dial this afternoon, 8546854. This is the studio number, and you can fax us at 8547024 05, or email us at info@radioislam.org.za. That email number, info@radioislam.org.za. And remember, any queries pertaining to any aspect of Ramadan, if you need a clarification, you need something that's bothering you, that's niggling in the back of your mind, you're not really sure, remember to call with me, is Mufti Afzal Ilyas. And the next question, I've had a caller, not pertaining to Ramadan, but wanting to know about running a business. She says they've got a business, and somehow or the other, things are not going well in the business. It seems to be going from bad to worse, where they're on the verge of closing. And the word she's used is there's no barakah. Is there any way and any advice that we have for them, what is going wrong and what they should be looking out for? But before we do that, we've got an Ahmed online. He's on a cell phone. Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Mufti Sahab.
Ji.
I want to know about continuation of surf, right?
Yeah.
In our local mosque, like Mayfair Mosque and so on, for Juma Namaz, we have an upstairs and downstairs. What happens then?
As long as that upstairs is linked to the downstairs masjid, as long as, for example, in the Haramain Sharifain also, as you've got pillar linkage, and you've got concrete pillar linkage and columns, etc., linking the bottom to the top, then we classify that as a link up.
Jazakallah,
that
answers my question. Jazakallah, thank you.
Jazakumullah. Walaikum salam. That was Ahmed calling in about the linking of serfs. But before that, Maulana, the Mufti Sahab was the caller about Barakah. Perhaps what she wanted to know is, was there something that could help them remedy the situation, and was there also something that they need to be vigilant about?
As far as Barakah in the shops are concerned, or business is concerned, and here also with the specific case that they feel that business is going down or there is no barakah. However, barakah is a very wide term. Barakah will mean that you got so much wealth, which Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that congratulations are upon that person who is happy with the sustenance his Rabb is giving him. So that has been defined as how much money a person is getting, but he is happy with it, he is content with it, and he is pleased with it, and he is happy Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is giving him something that he is pleased with. So barakah in that term, or in that terminology, is very wide. However, people sometimes feel that I got not so much money, I supposed to have a lot of money, then that is barakah. Sometimes that is not barakah, but that is a punishment, having too much money and you now not fulfilling your obligations. But here, a person should be regular with Fajr Salat. It is stated that a person who makes his Fajr Salat regularly and subsequently reads Surah Yasin after that, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will give barakah in the entire day. So it's a simple remedy, it's a simple cure. Also, it is written in Masnoon Duas compiled by Mufti Ashiq Ilahi Bulandshahri Rahmatullah Alayh. One Sahabi came to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he stated to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, that when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam found him sad, so Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, what is the problem? He said, I have got a lot of debt, number one. Secondly, I do not seem to be selling my merchandise. I do not seem to be selling my goods. So everybody is complaining about this problem these days, that there is a lot of debt plus not selling merchandise. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahabi that when you enter your home, then you greet Assalamu Alaikum, and then before talking to your household members, you read three times Surah Ikhlas. That means you read three times Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, and then after that, inshallah, you talk to your family members. This Sahabi did it. After, within a few weeks, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him and asked him that, now what is the result, what has happened? Because he found the Sahabi smiling. He said, Ya Rasulullah, since the time I've started what you have told me to do, there is tremendous barakah, there is tremendous provisions now. I have cleared my debt, and now whatever I touch, I sell, and there is a lot of transactions taking place. So Alhamdulillah, you've got one easy formula which has been prescribed by none other than Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
We've got a couple of other questions not pertaining to any real aspect of One is a medical question. Can a diabetic test sugar levels or take an insulin injection? Can you help with that?
Yes. There are two or three questions there. That first of all, diabetic patient, we advise that according to the doctors, you should take your medication regularly. Not that you are going to be fasting and then all of a sudden you are going to get cured from your ailment. It is permissible to take sugar test while in the state of fasting. That is a removal of blood, a drop or so of blood. As I explained, that if someone unfortunately is stabbed in the month of Ramadan while fasting and wounded, blood flows out of the person's body, that blood flowing out will not break the or invalidate the fast. So the person taking a sugar test or a glucose test does not break the fast. Taking of an insulin injection, that also will not break the fast. It will not invalidate the fast of the fasting person.
The next question pertains to a live recitation of the Quran. So it happens that a person is in the studio and he's reading the Quran here at Radio Islam, and people are listening away at home or wherever the case may be, and it comes to an ayat of sijda. Is the sijda tilawat compulsory on the person listening in?
Yeah, this masala, and many ulama have written books on this. And Mufti Zarwal Ali of Pakistan, Karachi, also has written, I think, a complete book. I'm still awaiting the book he has written on this particular aspect. And while discussing with Mufti Ashikilai Bolanchari, Ramatullahi of Medina, he mentioned a principle of echo. He said that if it is an echo, and this thing is echoing back, if it is echoing back to a person, then the listener, obviously, when he is listening to it, whether this is an original sound or whether it's an echo sound. If it's an original sound without any mediation or transmission or without any echo systems, then the person is going to make a sijda tilawat. But as soon as there is some transmission going through, as soon as there is some means whereby the voice is slightly changed or modified, then there is no sijda tilawat applicable. However, if a person out of cautiousness makes sijda tilawat, then that will be permissible. While on this aspect of sijda tilawat, I was astonished to see in one will form that they had kafara for not performing sijda tilawat. However, those compilers of that will form are absolutely wrong, because there is no such thing as kafara for non-performance of sijda tilawat. If a person did not perform sijda and tilawat, then if he makes sincere tawbah, istighfar, that suffices.
Jazakumullah. And I think I just want to go back to the question on the difference when you have a recording, and sijda and tilawat comes on, and here we're talking about a person reading live. Does that make any difference?
That means the person who's getting it, he's getting it via a transmitting mechanism. So although he is live in the studio, but he's getting it via electronic media, he's getting it via transmitters, and he is getting it via not a direct system.
Okay, and the earlier question about can a diabetic, it says even if the insulin is taken through into the stomach, is that permissible?
Yes, because that actually does not go into the stomach, although the injection seems to be the person injecting it on the outer stomach areas. That is going into his blood system, and that is not going to alter the position of his fast.
Is it permissible for a woman in Ramadan to take tablets to prevent menstruation? We've done this last week, but you can just add the clarification to that.
The difficulty that is arising here, that some radio stations are giving a blanket permission that yes, you can and you should take medication to prevent and stop the bleeding so that you don't have to make qaza. To give a blanket permission, that is not good and advisable. Yes, we are saying that if someone does so, then the fast is valid, and we are also saying that the medical practitioners are definitely saying that to delay the natural flow which Allah Ta'ala has designed, which Allah Ta'ala has designed for the lady, to delay that flow is going to cause further health hazards and difficulties and problems and complications. And one cannot draw an analogy of taking medication to stop the menstruation during Ramadan and make an analogy saying that yeah, in Hajj the ulama give permission. In Hajj the ulama give permission due to circumstances when the lady has to take the medication and make a tawaf ziyarat and then board a flight, and there is no other flight available, or the person does not have the financial means of taking another flight or postponing another flight. Then the ulama give, out of necessity, out of dire necessity, the ulama rule that you can take the medication to postpone or delay or alter the flow of blood during the time. But to just take it and say, no, you can take your medication now and postpone and delay the haze or the periods in Ramadan as a blanket rule will not be advisable from any quarters.
Can one follow the Imam of the Haram in Witr Salah if one is a Hanafi and you are in there in the month of Ramadan?
This masala I spoke to Mufti Ashikilai Bulanshari Rahmatullah Alayhi and he told me, yes, you can. You can follow the Haram Imam during the month of Ramadan whilst you are in the Haramain Sharifain. So you can follow them and it is permissible, it is valid.
JazakAllah for that. And the number is 8546854. If you have any questions or any queries pertaining to Ramadan, these are some of the general questions that have come in. I've got some questions that's coming. According to the Ahnaf, there is no one rakat. So how will you perform the three rakats according to?
This is an academic discussion, and I do not think so we should dwell over it over the air about the Ahnaf and one rakat discussion. We are talking about the Haramain, Sharifain with special conditions and under special circumstances. This is the exception to the rule. This is not the rule. What the brother has rightly said, that according to the Ahnaf, we also know that the Mawlana Qasim Nanwatwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has written extensively on this masala about the Ahnaf not having one rakat as a salat per se. However, the ulama, even I think Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi also stated that we should follow the Haramain Sharifain Imams in this case for the sake of unity, and other great ulama also have been following the Haramain Sharifain Imams during the time for the Witr Salat. However, in our country and those who are listening, we have a general pattern that when the Hanafi Imam is leading the three rakats witr, the Shawafi brothers, they go to another portion of the masjid or the courtyard of the masjid and perform their witr. Up to date in South Africa, especially here, it has caused absolutely no difficulty, no problems, no quarrel, no fight. Chandeliers of the masjid have not fallen down as yet, and we should leave it like that.
JazakAllah for that. And I, we now go on to the discussion that we were to do, and that is on zakat in detail. Some of the guidelines with zakat, Mufti Sahib, you can give us some of the guidelines before we take on any calls pertaining to zakat. But we've got a brother Yahya online. Assalamu alaikum, Yahya.
Assalamu
alaikum.
I'm phoning. I'm not asking about zakat. I have a problem. Pertaining to my tarawih. See, I'm staying here in Deep Kloof. Before I was staying in Lens. Now, I have no means of transport to go read tarawih. Now, I want to know if am I getting any sunnah or what, because tarawih is sunnah.
Are you making tarawih at home?
No, I'm not reading at home, but I'm khatming Quran every night.
No, but are you making 20 rakat tarawih salat at home?
No.
On your own. Mufti Sahib is asking, are you able to make on your own 20 rakats of tarawih on your own? That means reading the surahs that you know.
I can read the surahs. Should I do that?
Do you know Alam Tara downwards?
I know from Duha. Yeah, you can say.
Oh, you know from what Duha?
Yes.
Oh, Alhamdulillah. So what you do from tonight, inshallah, you make 20 rakats of salat tarawih at home.
Okay.
And then you read Wadduha, Surah Fatiha, Wadduha first rakat, and then carry on from there and until inshallah you read the last surah. Right.
Okay, exactly.
Allah Ta'ala will reward you and inshallah you will not be accountable because you are incapacitated because you do not have transport.
JazakAllah for that call, Brother Yahya. And Mufti Sahib, certain guidelines with pertaining to zakat.
As far as zakat is concerned, that first of all, we must determine what is an asset. And secondly, we should discuss who can receive zakat. And thirdly, we should try to mention who cannot receive zakat. And fourthly, we should try to discuss, time permitting, how we should discharge our zakat. Generally, coming to the month of Ramadan, many Muslims, we give off our zakat during this month. We close so-called our Islamic financial accounts during this month, calculate the zakat and pay off the zakat. Although, as a businessman, many of them, throughout the entire year, they give of their zakat. Because come month of Ramadan, and when they, alhamdulillah, calculate their zakat, and sometimes they have to give out 20,000 or 40,000, then to give that out all at once becomes a little bit difficult on the head, mind, and the pocket. So what they generally do, they give this in stages throughout the year, and they note it. So when it comes to Ramadan, then they just have to subtract what they have given and what is their actual calculation. That is a good, very good method, that throughout the entire year to give out zakat on a daily or weekly or monthly basis, so that when you calculate your zakat in the month of Ramadan, then you will get rewarded more because you are giving out in Ramadan. However, we must know the masala that it is not farz to calculate the zakat in Ramadan. If a person decides he is doing it in some other month, Sharia has left it open, he can do it in any other month of his choice, and he feels it comfortable to do it any other month. But as a rule, or as a common customary practice, people generally calculate their zakat during the month of Ramadan. Secondly, that defining a asset, what is a asset in Islam? Let us take money. So we will say a asset is that which is in your ownership. You have to be owner of that commodity, that merchandise, that goods, that monetary currency, the gold, the silver. You have to be owner of it. That's the most important point. Secondly, is that you have to have possession of it. So possession will be the second point. You will have to have possession of it. And thirdly, physical control over it. Physical control meaning that whenever you want to use it, you are able to use it. Whenever you want to access it, you are able to access it. And whenever you want to use it as a means of transaction, you are able to do it. And fourthly, that you have got what we term in Sharia, haqq tasarruf, right of distribution. So once you are owner of it, and you are in possession of it, and you got control of it, then inshallah, naturally, you will have right of distribution. There are no clauses attached to this right of distribution. In fact, there must be no clauses attached to the ownership, the control, the possession, and the right of distribution. By right of distribution, we mean absolutely free right. A person has got a natural free right of doing what he wants to do with that money, or with that gold, that silver, that goods, that merchandise. Then we will say in Sharia, that money or that goods is liable for zakat, or that is zakatable. Now the other portion will be a liability. A liability will be that a person, someone, he owes someone money. Basically, he owes someone money. And here, if we have to discuss one aspect of loans, he gave a loan. Now, must he include this loan in his balance sheet when drawing the zakat? One point that is flashing repeatedly in my mind, that when you're calculating your zakat, then your cash flow, you must include your hidden uplang. That you may be hiding it from someone, but from some people or anybody, or you do not want to know, let your family know what's your financial power. But when you're calculating your zakat, then you'll have to include it. And also, you will have to convert, because, or to make it easy for your calculation, all your foreign investments and your foreign cash currency, or your foreign money that is over in foreign exchange in another country. You'll have to bring all those things into one pool and then calculate your zakat. As far as the loan, Ismail says?
No, it's okay, carry on.
As far as the loan is concerned, we will classify, the books have classified them in various categories, loans as strong, as moderate, as weak. Basically, the loan that you have given a person, and you are fully aware that you are going to get that loan back. You have given it to a powerful party. You have given it to a person who is financially strong, and he will give you back that loan that you have given or upfronted to him, that you pay on that. But if you feel that definitely you have loaned someone and that money is not going to come back to you, and you are basically going to cry for that money, then you wait. There is another method of giving the zakat of that. You will have to give it in installments, according to Imam Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh, that when it comes, then you will give it in installments, provided it is above the nisab amount. So we have got now the assets and the liabilities taken care of, how we classify it. Once we have classified that, then you know naturally now that the pension fund or the provident fund will not fall in the asset category because of it is not in your control, although you are the owner and you do not have haqq tasarruf, you do not have right of distribution over it.
Jazakumullah. So there's a number of questions and you've raised the two that I was going to talk about. It's both the provident and the pension fund, and you've explained that because they're not within our control, they do not fall in what we would say that having haqq tasarruf, you know, being able to dispense. Is that correct?
Yes.
But now there's a number of questions that have come in the meantime. The first one is, if one left out a fast intentionally, can one give money in compensation for that fast? And I think the key word here is, if the fast is left out intentionally.
If a person, see, there's a difference here. One is to break the fast intentionally, and one is to discard or leave the fast intentionally. So there are two different rulings for these two different situations. One is a person, he or she commenced the fast and willfully, intentionally broke that fast. For that is kafara, and which we have discussed last week in detail, how to give that kafara and the feeding of those 60 people if you cannot feed, if you cannot fast 60 fast one after the other. Here is a person did not intentionally keep the fast. That means he did not commence the fast. He did not start the fast. Such a person is a sinner, is a transgressor. And in the Islamic state, he will be, according to some ulama, punished very severely. Even if he has to do it outside, he'll be punished more severely and whipped, according to some of the jurisconsults. So that person is definitely a transgressor and a sinner who intentionally leaves out the fast.
And in terms of payment, what is here?
No, this person here, he has to now...
There
is no kafara there. He intentionally did not start the fast.
So
it's kaza. One for one.
Only one. Okay, but the guna outweighs it.
The guna is tremendous.
Okay, fine. Can I read Tahajjud Salah after my Isha Salah before I perform my Witr Salah, or do I have to perform it after my Witr? That's the next question. Can I read Tahajjud Salah after Isha Salah before performing Witr Salah, or do I have to perform it after my Witr? So the question is, when does one perform Tahajjud, before or after Witr?
The general pattern should be that you should perform your Tahajjud Salah after your Witr Salah. That is your general pattern, number one. Secondly, it should be done after the second half of the night. Some have divided the night into three, some have divided it into six. So the safe word to use will be the latter portion of the night, closer towards Sehri time. That will be the easiest explanation, because of those who have divided the night into various Sufis have divided it into various categories and classifications, the night itself. So the latter part of the night, meaning the portion near Sehri, because Sehri ends, Isha ends, Sehri ends, Tahajjud ends, Sehri ends, eating ends, Sehri ends, Fajr starts. So a person should try to make the Tahajjud Salat after the Witr Salat. Now in our age, that if a person after Witr Salat, these days Alhamdulillah, we are able to get up for Sehri and during that time also perform the Tahajjud Salat quickly. Two rakats is minimum Tahajjud Salat, 12 rakat is normal tahajjud salat. But if you have got qaza salat, then make 2 rakats of tahajjud salat and then make your qaza salat. And then after that you'll be able to perform your what you call sunnah of the fajr when fajr time sets in. You do not have to wait for the fajr azan to make the sunnahs of fajr. If the fajr time has set in, then you can make your fajr 2 rakat sunnah and then inshallah proceed to the masjid to make your faraz fajr.
If I'm going to travel, that's the next question. Can I perform my Salatul Safar after my Fajr Salah?
Provided that the sun has risen, because sunrise time is Makruh time. And the Ulama Ikram have stated that we should not make any Nafil Salat. Besides, some Ulama have written that Qaza Salat after the sunnats of the after the sunnats of this Fajr Salat, one can make the Qaza Salat. And because of there is the validity of Salat between the Fajr Faraz and the sunrise, some ulama said you can't make your Qaza there, but no Nafil Salat they say you should make there. So that means this Safar Salat is a Nafil Salat. You should make it after sunrise. However, the Safar Salat, you don't have to make it 2 minutes before you jump in the car. If it's permissible time and you're able to do it, you can make your Safar Salat at Isha time. And make, Ya Allah, I'm going on journey tomorrow. Make it easy for me and make it comfortable and save me from any calamities. And make your 2 rakats of Salat for Isha at Isha time, after Isha or so, or even before Isha, for the journey that is coming the next day.
This is a question not pertaining to Ramadan, but also the same Salah. If your person is in the Mataf area and after Fajr Salah, he now performs the Tawaf, and then he wants to perform his 2 rakat Salat Tawaf. Is that?
Well, he wants to. 2 rakat Wajib Tawaf, he will make after the sun rises. He will not make it during Makruh time. Ulama have written this very clearly that he will postpone it. As far as that Salat is concerned, the 2 rakats of Wajib Salat after the Tawaf, try and make it behind the Maqam Ibrahim. The Maqam Ibrahim doesn't mean right behind the Maqam Ibrahim. It means anywhere behind the Maqam Ibrahim. If you can't make it anywhere in the Mataf. Otherwise, make it in the Haram or make it in your hotel room. Forgetting which, you can make it at home also.
Where do you mean home?
Back in South Africa.
You really got me. You got me startled with that one when I said back home. Someone owes me a lot of money for many years. Do I take out zakat on it yearly, or can I take out the zakat when I receive the money for the past years?
This is the same question I was referring to. That when a person has loaned someone money, people are owing him money, then what he should determine in his mind whether this is a strong loan or whether this is a weak loan. Whether this will come back quickly to him, or the party involved, whether they are financially powerful, reliable, honest. And here we must note something, that if you or I owe anybody money and we have got the means to pay that money back to the person, then you should pay it back. You should pay it back and not unnecessarily hold the money. You should pay your debts. There is strong warning against not paying of debts. So this person here in question should determine whether this loan is strong or whether this is weak. After he has determined that, if he determines it is strong, then he must pay zakat on it. But here it looks like he's not getting his money after even 5-7 years, so definitely it is weak. So he must wait for the money to come. When that money comes and the money received is over the nisab, then he must pay zakat on that at that time.
Not the cumulative of 7 years.
No.
Is that correct? I think just want to clarify that. It's not the cumulative, it's just the money that he's got. He's over the nisab, he calculates at 2.5%, take out the zakat and gives it, and he'll be discharged of his zakat obligation.
Yes.
The next question is, I have a non-Muslim partner in business. It is a cash in, cash out business. Do I take zakat on profit or the cash flow?
Now, firstly, that you are shareholder, and you are shareholder with a non-Muslim.
Yeah, well, it would be a partnership.
Yes, partnership, shareholder. Mm-hmm. You should first of all understand very clearly that zakat is not obligatory for that non-Muslim. So you should know exactly your share, and you should, in proportion, take out zakat. Now, when you say it is a cash in, cash out, then I do not know whether you are taking out zakat daily or weekly or monthly or yearly. However, the safe way will be that you can take it out also weekly and can do your major calculation at the end of the year. Your profit will be same as your cash intake, your net profit cash. Because if you take on your cash is your capital, is your rotating capital, but you'll have to take on your profit plus your paid up stock. Because for your daily cash takings, you are buying more goods with it. So actually you are using your daily cash flow and rotating it, and you are putting it back into the business as to rotate your stock and your merchandise. So that is why we are saying, take your, for calculation purpose, your profit, but your share of the profit, because you are in partnership. Your profit and your share in the merchandise. Your share in the paid up merchandise, whether it is on your floor or whether it is in transit.
You know, I'm trying to seek a clarification for my own self in this. You're saying that if you need to pay, you've got to pay it on the profit. Now, zakat becomes only when a person has that amount of money for him within a period of a year. Now, we're taking this, that profit is with him just maybe for a couple of weeks. He takes that money and he re-injects it back into the business. So, wouldn't that cause... I'm just worried about the clarification for that.
The profit, obviously, is a businessman. And businessmen have got a very minute way of calculating monthly profit. Otherwise, they won't be in business. So they know monthly what they are making. In fact, a good businessman knows daily what he's making. So they know monthly that my average profit is so much. So you take the upper end of your average. You take your maximum to be on the safe side and put that figure down.
So what we are saying is profit is that amount of money you take that you're not going to re-inject into your business. Is that
no,
what you're saying?
No, no. Not that. I'm not saying that. Because obviously, he's taking part of that profit and eating it. Part of that profit he's going and performing hajj with it.
That's
half
right.
Of that profit he's utilizing it. So the end result of that profit, the net profit after his expenditure, he must take. Because what you are saying is very valid. That from that profit he's doing many things. That is gross profit.
Mm-hmm.
From that profit he's paying rent, lights, water, rates, taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also giving charity.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going for hajj, he's going for holiday, he's buying car, he's doing many 200 things with it. So we are saying, I'm happy you raised this, you should have sent out a wrong signal that he must take profit. No, he must take net profit, not gross profit.
What I'm trying to say is, for example, he makes an X amount as gross profit.
Yeah.
And then from there, he's going to take out whatever he needs. And then whatever he takes out, the little bit that he's taken out, that amount,
yeah,
that becomes the actual profit. And on that, you've got to calculate.
Yes, on that.
You see, I was just worried because trying to clarify for myself whether we're doing it that way.
Because if you look at it, Ismail, every month he'll be making gross profit.
Yeah, sure.
And then from that gross profit, he is eating.
Yes.
Literally, figuratively. And from there, he'll get a net profit. So every month, he'll have a net profit. He'll have figures.
And this raises, I think we did this last year too, where people are owned, flats and so forth.
Yes.
And they have, this real estate. What happens is they charge a rental. Now, it is not on the rental that you've got to pay, but of course, after you've done all the expenditure, you may have gone into to repairing the building, the maintenance, whatever it is.
The plumbing, etc.
The plumbing, and which comes in. I think you did go through that exercise. I just now sort of clearly, in my mind, clarified that, and I think that is where these type of issues come in. So, you will take that into account when you're working out your zakat.
Because your expenditure is part of your liability. And in the case of rentals, you pay on rentals, but the rental not per se, not only that, after you have maintained your flats, that goes minus the rental amount.
And we were speaking about, provident funds, pension funds. You also spoke about assets, possession, physical control, we now need to look at a little bit of, you know, some of the other aspects as far as zakat is concerned, but we'll do that after the break. You know, the thing I want you to work out, and I think many of our mothers and sisters are worried about, is the calculation of zakat with their gold. How do they go about calculating it? And I know the question comes in many a time, is a sister saying, we've got the gold, but we don't have the money. Who is liable? Is it us or is it our husbands? Or do we sell our jewelry? I've had those type of questions coming through. But inshallah, when we come back after the ad break, we can take on some of those questions. Stay tuned. 28 minutes to 3 on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1540. If you just tuned in, with me is Mufti Afzal Ilyas, and I'm Ismail. We have your host for this program and taking on our calls and engineering for us, Mona Ibrahim Ismail. If you have any queries, any aspect pertaining to Ramadan, especially zakat, but if you have any other query, remember you could also call in, and we're taking on your calls while we've gone for an hour ad break. We've had a number of questions that have come in, and some of them I must say is interesting. Here we've got one, and Mufti Sapi says someone pawned their jewelry, right? The value of the jewelry is 4,000 rand, and the person who pawned the jewelry or took in the jewelry gave them 2,000 rand, right? Who is liable for the zakat? Now the man is so,
he's taken the jewelry and given it to the pawn shop, and the pawn shop has in one way taken this and given a collateral, because they have taken the item of jewelry and given, evaluated it at 4,000, I think, and in return have given them 2,000. So the person is in financial difficulty, obviously. That's why he has taken the jewelry for pawning. So when that 2,000 was given, I presume that 2,000 has disappeared already in expenditure, daily expenditure. That's one. Secondly, that the person who's the pawn, the person who's pawning the stuff, I wonder what you call him, pawnee or what?
He's pawn owner, pawn shop owner, that's all I would know.
Yeah, so you follow that fellow, he doesn't have to pay because he's not the owner of that stuff. He's not the owner of it.
He's a caretaker.
He's a caretaker of it. He's the guardian of it. Yes, he will become owner of it. I presume they have certain clauses that if that fellow does not come up with his 4,000 during a certain amount of time, then this caretaker becomes owner.
But then what happens now?
In the interim, no one pays.
Nobody pays.
No one pays because, first of all, that person has given the jewelry away as collateral and has already taken 2,000 away. Technically, he has sold his jewelry and taken the 2,000 and spent it. Because if he does not come up with the 2,000 within a certain duration, gone with his jewelry. And then the pawn owner shop, the owner of the shop, he will have to pay on that jewelry.
The second question flowing in from that one is, on what amount do I give zakat? So he's the pawn shop owner, wants to know, the person who's taken the items on pawn.
He's not the owner yet. When he's not the owner of it, the principles that we discussed, those four principles, he's just the caretaker of it.
So until he does not become physical owner, there is not haqqat tasarruf, he's not in possession, the asset, then he definitely cannot pay until he does. And when he does come in debt, he will have to pay on the full amount and not the amount that he bought it for.
Yes, this is very easy deen Allah Ta'ala given us.
Alhamdulillah. And the person who pawned his jewelry, is he entitled for zakat?
Yes. Now, obviously, as I stated, he pawned the jewelry because they were in requirement of money. And if that person is not sahib and isab, that means he is not paying zakat. He is not paying zakat. And he's poor, destitute, needy, then he can receive zakat. So that person, according to how it looks, he can receive zakat.
The next question is something that comes up from time to time in many conversations. We hear this coming up and people saying, is this permissible? And there is a word for it as well, but it is undisclosed money that you do not want anyone else to know about it. Sometimes you don't even want your closest partner to know about it. So, you know, we talk about it in many terms, in many ways. It is veiled, and the term perhaps is used is uplong. Is this permissible in Islam and the Sharia?
As far as this non-official accountable money in the Shariat of Islam, one is the ruling is, as I mentioned, that you have to give zakat on it, because you are the owner of it, you have got possession of it, etc. And whether it is permissible in Islam, it is permissible in Islam to have non-accountable money in your possession, provided that you have earned it halal. The thing in Islam is, the punchline or the bottom is that you have legally, in the light of Shariat, that you have legally, by halal means, by permissible means, with using permissible avenues, have earned this money. You have not stole it. You have not conned someone. You have not, what you call, went to the back door and started earning this money. Or you have not dropped one huge container by getting this money. Or selling stolen stuff by getting this money. That money is haram. And that money is illegal. And that money will destroy you eventually. We have seen in our lifetime, those who deal in haram, they may be driving flashy cars, but inside their hearts, they are all depressed, and they are morally bereft. Unfortunately, they get the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending upon them and their families. So, one is that it is legal, but provided the avenue utilized to get it is legal, absolutely legal.
Jazakumullah, yes, we're getting lots of callers calling in, but nobody wanting to come in air. They're giving us the questions all in a written form. But remember, you could call in. The number to dial 8546854, fax us on 8547024 05. And if anybody's working on a computer and you have access to email, then it's info@radioislam.org.za. Remember that it is Radio Islam Midway 1548. Any other questions, inshallah, with me, Mufti Afzal Ilyas. The next one, does one pay zakat on 9 karat gold?
I think last year we went through this proceeding and we made some queries about 9 carat, and then we had various questions. What if I've got 1 9 carat? And then another person said, what if I got 2 9 carat? Then one other person said, I got white gold. Another one said, I got blue gold. Another one said, I got gold from Dubai. Another one said, I got gold from India. Another one said, I got Italian gold. Now, bottom line is, understand something. If you got gold, and you got any amount of gold, please go and have it evaluated. If the evaluation, the total sum of the evaluation, is zakatable nisab, and the zakatable nisab is at the moment?
Yes, 1,008 rand and 34 cents, and that was at the 6th of November 2002, it is from the Jamiatul Ulama. And it is 1,008 rand and 34 cents.
So you went to the jeweler and you evaluated your gold. The sum total of your gold came to 2,008 rand 34 cents. Then you pay zakat. If it did not come to that value, you do not pay zakat. Once we adopt this principle, all queries come to an end, and all questioning and so-called fighting come to an end.
The next question is, do we pay zakat on diamond sets?
We do not pay zakat on diamond sets or other precious items. We pay on gold or silver.
So only on gold and silver, you do not pay on any other precious metals if we do have any of that. The number again to dial, 8546854, Mani Ibrahim Ismail, busy taking on any lots of questions coming through, waiting for those to come through to us. Inshallah, Mufti Sahib, when we're talking about zakat and the other, we've spoken about businesses and we've spoken about, I think the other question that's going to come up is the one pertaining to shares. Do we calculate shares? How do we do it? And what would be the best method of getting that calculation? I know certain people saying that you could phone your company, the investment company, and say, listen, what is the ruling price at this day? I'm calculating my zakat, so it is in the month of Ramadan. Give me that price. Would that be correct to do?
Yes, the current value of the share. The current market related value of the share, you will calculate your zakat on that.
You see, lots of people, what happens is sometimes these shares, these valuations that you get,
fluctuate.
And they give them information around about June and saying that's the current price, and things may have changed in the market.
Yes,
is it important that you get the current when you're working out your zakat, or should you take something that has been given as 2 or 3 months back?
No, do not take the value that was given by your broker 3 months ago or a month ago even. At the time of calculation, your current value of your share, market related obviously, will be zakatable and taken into consideration when you calculating your zakat.
Okay, and when you come into, let me get Mali Ibrahim's questions coming through. The other aspect of zakat, we've done the one of gold and one of diamond. As far as diamonds are concerned, the gold surrounding the diamond, does that have to be evaluated?
If there is gold surrounding the diamond, that has to be evaluated. Because gold is gold, and it will have to be evaluated. And the rule again will be, if it is more than the zakatable nisab, then you will have to pay zakat on that. What I would like to quickly mention before the questions come in, that who can you give zakat to and who can you are not allowed to give zakat to. One is, as we did in the last year, Ismail, that if a person stands and he extends his hands, then from his head upwards and feet downwards, head upwards, that means his father, his mother, his grandfather, grandmother, they cannot receive zakat.
In English they call it ascendants and descendants. Ascendants are all those coming before him, and descendants all those coming after him. So we're looking at ascendants, people before him. So who came before him would be his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather. Those are all people coming before him.
So Ismail is using one big word, I'm using one simple word. Same thing it is. Ascendants, what?
Ascendants and descendants.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. So now those who came before him, his progeny, that means where he came from.
Yes, where he came from.
Where he came from, they cannot get your zakat. And those that came from you, those that came from you, so you got one word for that too.
Descendants. Okay.
Your descendants, that means your son and your daughter.
Your son, your daughter, now their children, their, becomes your grandchildren.
Your grandchildren.
Great-grandchildren.
Great-grandchildren. Simple, they do not get zakat. Now on the sides, you got your arms extended, your brother, your sister. They can get zakat. Your brother, your sister, and their children. That means nephew, nieces. From both sides. Your brother's side and your sister's side. Their children, they will be able to receive your zakat. This is very simple, you should understand it. And many laws, you can say, have come out from there. What I would like to stress is, sometimes we give out our zakat, whereas our immediate families are in requirement. Our brothers, our sisters, nephews, nieces, they are in dire straits. But we take our zakat and we give it to the whole world, entire world, and become quite famous and popular with it.
Yes, I just want to stop you there just a little bit, and I think that's where we need to understand that I think even from the Sharia point of view, it is more rewardable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give it to those that need it within your family. Is that correct?
Definitely, that is correct. That is the point I want to stress here. And if you can get only that message out in this session, I will be very happy. That avoid becoming popular and famous and seeking power and glory and all that, and you give out huge, huge checks to people. But meanwhile, right under you, those people, your brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces, they are in dire straits. Sometimes we give charity for show, and we give zakat for show. We should correct our intention, bring sincerity and devotion in our lives, and help those who are nearest to us, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be greatly happy. Jee.
Okay, coming back again, and can we extend this very same, example to people that are under us? When we talk about people under us, sometimes we have people working for us. I know this becomes more tricky, but sometimes you have someone that is working for you, and you know that they're in dire straits, and you know that, and I know that the question that we've said in the past is rather up their salaries than give them the, if they under some circumstance or the other are not able to fulfill, do you think that would be the right way to do it?
Two, three points come up here. One is, as rightly stated by Brother Ismail, that you should try to up their salaries. It is better to up their salaries. When you up their salaries, inshallah, they won't steal also. And you will have less pilferage. However, if you want to give a person zakat, you must understand this point. It is very basic in nature. That you do not have to tell the recipient of zakat. Recipient, the receiver. The person who is getting the zakat. You do not have to tell him that it is zakat. You can tell him this is a gift. You can even tell him this is a loan. And you can, to avoid embarrassment, you do not have to tell him that this is zakat. Unfortunately, there are certain brothers who give their zakat to the recipient, flashing their money around and saying, "See, I'm giving you zakat," and trying to humiliate the receiver of zakat, the recipient of zakat. We as Muslims should realize that if there were no recipients of zakat, our zakat should not have been fulfilled. So both parties are equally rewardable, the receiver of zakat to receive that zakat, and the giver of zakat to give the zakat. So both parties should not be arrogant, the giver and the receiver. The receiver should not feel that I am entitled here. This is my birthright to receive zakat. And the giver should not feel that I am doing a great favor here by giving my zakat. You are just fulfilling your obligatory nature, and you will get reward, and you will get barakah in your business. And the more sincere you are, you will get so much barakah, it's unreal. So, to give your worker, employee, zakat, you can give him, say you're giving him bonus and give it to him. But do not give him money and eventually he becomes obligated to you in some way or the other. That you're giving him an extra amount of money and then you want him to do some extra services, official services, unofficial services. That you want him to work during the day and in the afternoon you want him to clean your garden also. That is absolutely not correct. That is taking advantage over the situation and you are trying to oppress and suppress a person who is financially incapacitated. First of all, you may be financially incapacitated by giving him a low salary, then you giving him zakat indirectly, and thirdly, you want him to come and clean your stoop and wash your car in the weekend. That is absolutely wrong if you have to do such an action.
Jazakumullah for that one. My husband received a bonus in September plus minus 80,000 rand. We are going to use the money for Hajj. The money has already been changed into traveler's check. Is zakat liable on that amount?
In the case stated that you have changed the money into traveler's checks, we have one point of advice that you can now get your money changed into riyals. So you do not have to make it into dollars. So when you're going for Hajj especially, make it into riyals. The facilities are available at the Bureau of Exchange everywhere. Yeah, that means you have got that money in your possession, in your ownership, in your control, and you have changed this money into another currency. So if you are calculating your zakat, you are owner of this money, you have got control of it, possession of it, and you have got right of distribution. You have just made it from rands into whatever currency, so you will have to pay on that currency zakat.
So definitely you are liable for that amount, but you will take into account all other monies and all other things that you have, and together cumulative, you will then calculate your zakat. So this is going to be part of everything else that you own.
Yes. Okay. One point here I would like to mention, that see 80,000 rand, and you have changed currency. Obviously, I do not know how much you have changed. But nowadays, the agents, Hajj agents, they want money upfront. So just as perhaps they have been taxed upfront money for hotels that side, they want their money upfront here in South Africa so that they secure clientele, etc. So if you have taken from your 80,000 rand in this case, let's say you have taken 50,000 rand and you have given your agent. You have given him. Once you gave him, it's gone. You are no more owner of it.
You don't have possession. You're not physical control. Everything comes into
play. Everything is
in Jazakumullah for that one. I owe money that is about 70,000 rand. I've been unemployed for 4 years. Can I receive zakat?
Yes. In this case here, you are owing 70,000 rand. That's quite a huge, substantial amount of money. And you should make an effort to pay that 70,000 rand back. In this case, you are liable to receive zakat. But when you receive the zakat, please go and pay out your debt first before doing something else.
Can I ask wealthy family members to give their zakat? Is this permissible?
Yes, you can ask wealthy family members, but you should be cautious not to go to those people who will humiliate you or disgrace you. You should actually go to one family member, one senior family member, who you got confidence in and who you rely on and who is a man of influence in your family circle. You go to him, present your case to him, and he will activate, motivate it and raise the funds for you and inshallah settle your debt.
The very same question on something. Could you give the person a large sum of money? For example, he is owing 70,000. Someone comes up and says he has 50,000 rand. Is that permissible for him to take?
If a person, for example, in this case what you are asking, that he's owing 70,000 rand and you gave him 50,000 rand, it is absolutely, if you gave him 50,000 rand zakat, it is absolutely permissible. Yeah, one point comes in mind, in those days, I do not know whether it is still the pattern now, that everybody should come and dispose their zakat onto the masjid, or the sadaqat al-fitr and load it onto the masjid. And I think now this practice has been curtailed to a great extent. There are many other places where the people are giving their zakat. And that masjid, for example, those days was getting all the sadaqat al-fitr, all, not a, a bulk of the zakat. But he comes next year, he got no money left. So it was permissible to give him loads of money because he does not have that load of money for one lunar year. So this person, you can give him the 50,000. But here my advice is that if you want to help a person who's got such a substantial amount of debt, like 70,000, then you should approach him, talk to him, and ask him who he is owing. And then you go and speak to those people whom he is owing. And you settle it directly, taking the permission of the person who is owing. Your zakat will be valid and discharged.
The time now, 3:06 on Radio Islam, meeting with 1548 with me, Mufti Afzal Ilyas. Taking on your calls and answering and engineering for us this afternoon is Maulana Ibrahim Ismail. And I'm Ismail Biryawar, taking on your questions and hosting the program. I am a name bearer on a building. I receive no benefit from the business dealings anymore. Only name. Do I pay zakat?
Can you explain a little bit more on that?
The person is a name bearer. There's a building, say there's three or four people that have, they perhaps, so his name was there on the initial stages of the building. I receive no benefit from the business dealings anymore. So only the name is attached to that building. So does he have to pay zakat? He gets no benefit from the
As long as he's getting no financial benefit, then he does not have to pay zakat. And his name being there, that is just they are using his name, and because he's getting no financial remuneration or financial gain or benefit, he does not have to pay zakat. He's getting nothing, so he does not have to pay zakat on anything.
My father's an account, but it is on my name. I have no contact over that account. Am I liable if he does not calculate zakat properly? So again, here, this person's name has been used to run the account. He's not. You know, there's no hakka tasarruf in that.
There's no ownership there.
There's no ownership, yes. There's nothing there.
There's no ownership, there's no possession there, there's nothing. They're just using his name.
Yes.
When using his name, he's not liable for that account. His father is liable for it. But here, the son, because his name is being utilized, and he does understand the implications of zakat, he should approach his father and tell his father that, listen, you should pay zakat on that account. Especially if the amount is more than the zakatable amount.
It's a it's a daughter. It is a daughter. It's still the same law rule applies. It's a daughter on whose name the account is.
Yes. If it is not the daughter's money.
Yes. Then she's not liable.
Then she's not liable for it. The father is liable for it. And if she is a sensible baligh, then she should tell her father that he has to pay what you call zakat of that. Perhaps they have done it for tax purposes or whatever purposes. However, the owner of that money, if it is more than the nisab, has to pay zakat of it.
If one is an uncle who is an alcoholic, a gambler, who's done this in the past, or a drug addict, is he one who can receive zakat?
A relative or a recipient of zakat who is a alcoholic or drug addict, or he is a person of not stable character, he does not have a good personality. Here we should differentiate between that person and his family. He is the head of the family, and unfortunately he has these ailments and difficulties. So we should try to help that family by way of kind, not cash. And kind also nowadays we say not even in tin stuff. Because generally what happens that if you have to help such a family whose head of the family has got this ailment of drugs or alcoholism, then they sell the tin stuff. For cheaply they go and sell the cheap stuff because they are habitual to drugs or alcohol and they want the money and they will try to get that money by any means. So you should try to, first of all, address the problem. By just helping that family, we are not going to solve that problem. We should immediately try to arrange for counseling. Secondly, rehabilitation. Now we have got Muslim rehabilitation centers also. run properly, correctly also under Islamic Sharia guidance. So you should contact the care line, contact the Jamiat, and this person's problem should be addressed seriously. By just helping that family with the goods, kind food, we are not going to actually sort the problem out. In fact, we may just worsen it.
Next question, I own property in which I live in. Do I pay zakat on it?
The property that you are living in, obviously, you are not going to pay zakat on that property. You pay zakat on rent of property, not on the property.
For the months of May 2002 to September 2002, I've worked overseas. My money now lies in a bank account in that particular country. Do I need to pay zakat for that money? I'm not using it at the moment, and I'm not sure when I will have access to it again. When converting to rands, which price do I use as a currency? Pounds is bought and sold at different rates.
So if you read this question here, which has come via email, that this person makes one statement, I do not know when I will have access to it. Read that question again.
Yes, I'm not using it at the moment, and I'm not sure when I will have access to it again. And I want to explain.
Does he have access to it?
Yeah, no. I think the question is, because the account is in another country, and they may not have access to go back to that particular country to take it out immediately. It may be in a bank in that particular country.
Yeah, so that means you got no access to the money. Now, we are living in an electronic age. And if you got money in any other bank, foreign bank, how I understand it, you are able to access that money.
Yes, I think there's maybe the way of writing it. Maybe she doesn't have access and confess it immediately. But like you said, there may be ways of getting that money.
Yes. Because I know of brothers who have got foreign accounts and they use the ATM machines in Saudi Arabia. They've got foreign accounts and they use ATM machines in the major shopping complexes in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in Madinah al-Munawwarah, and also in Jeddah, etc. So perhaps his brother will answer it from both angles.
It is a sister, I think it's called in. Yes, it is definitely a sister.
That by excess, if you got no control, if you got no control over that money, that means you are owner of it, you are owner, and you got no control, and you got no possession of it, and you got no haq at tasarruf, then you do not pay zakat. But inshallah, I think you got control of it, you got ownership, you got possession, you got access to it, you can call the money up whenever you want it, you can get the money whenever you want it. So we go to the second portion, which is
converting to rands, what price do I take as a currency? Do I as bought or sold at a different rate?
Yeah, so you will take the market related, you won't take the black market rate, you will take what the announcements will come on the radio.
What it is being sold at.
Yes. So you will take that amount which comes over your national radios, not what happens at the street corners or the black market rates. You will take the rates which have become on your national radios.
And what is the second scenario? Assume she doesn't have she does not have access to it again. What happens in that instance?
If she does not have access to it, then she obviously does not have haq al-tasarruf. She is that is not classified asset. She does not pay zakat on it. When she gets the money, and it's a substantial money amount of money, then she will pay zakat on it.
It is now 1 minute after three. Stay tuned. We'll be back and we'll be running in for another 15 minutes. So if you have any more questions or queries, remember to phone through. Jazakumullah. Stay tuned. The time now is 6 minutes after three on Radio Islam Midway 1548, and still with us in the studio, Mufti Afzal Ilyas. And we're taking on your calls. We've had a number of other questions that have come through. First one I have here is, can I give zakat to a relative, but he owns a TV?
Yeah, there are two separate issues here. One is concerning the possession of a TV. 9 out of 10 times you ask a poor person where you got the TV, inevitably he says he has been gifted with it. And he says some uncle gave it to him, or some relative has gifted it to him. And if this person here is watching the programs on television, and most of the programs on television these days are absolutely haram to watch. And rather sadly, most of the programs depict immorality, violence, crime. So the harms of television are well known. And the rulings concerning watching those programs are definitely haram. However, this person here, although he is a sinner, a transgressor, a disobedient person, but he is in financial difficulty, it is permissible to give him your zakat.
Can one give zakat to one's poor employees who is a non-Muslim?
The rule is very clear that you should not give your zakat to non-Muslims. This is stipulated in the Sharia that non-Muslims should not receive zakat. The recipients of zakat are Muslims. However, because your non-Muslim worker is in financial difficulty, here also I will stress that the worker, whether he is Muslim or non-Muslim, should be paid properly and should be paid a livable wage. There is no such thing that a non-Muslim must be underpaid. This is injustice. Whether this injustice is done to the non-Muslim or the Muslim, Islam is the deen for all, and justice for all, and peace for all, and also wants to uplift everybody. So you should pay the non-Muslim staff also very well. However, if they are in some financial need or difficulty, you may help them with your interest money, or you can help them with the intention that you will get some sawab, or definitely without interest money, you will get sawab when you help them with your money for their necessary activities and affairs.
I have an endowment policy which has matured. I haven't received it yet. Do I pay zakat on it?
As long as you have not received that money, one is the discussion about the endowment policy, what kind of policy it is, was, or whether you should have done it in the first place or not. Yeah, you say it is maturing and you are going to receive that money. In this case, you have not received the money, therefore you will not pay zakat on it. No sooner you get that money, then you will pay zakat in relationship to the, whether it is over the nisab or not. Now, I do not understand here that what are you going to get paid, the premium or payout. I do not understand this.
This is all that was given to us in form of a question, but if the caller who has called in, please, would like to just clarify those issues, you could call back. We've just got another 5 or so minutes with us in the studio, Mufti Afzal Ilyas. So if there's any other question, and if you could give us a clarification about the endowment policy. The next one regards to Istikhara Salah. Can this be read in the month of Ramadan?
As far as Istikhara Salat obviously is that you are to seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing 2 rakats of Salat and reciting a dua and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you some sort of guidance whereby you can make a decision, because you are at a crossroads whether to buy or sell, or whether to get married or not married, or whether to leave the country or not, or whether to do some action or not. So whatever the matter be on hand, you want to seek divine guidance. You may do and you may perform this salat or istikhara whether in Ramzan or out of Ramzan, in the state of fasting or not in the state of fasting. However, I must state one point, that generally people are under the impression that after reciting the salat or istikhara, when they go to sleep, then they're going to get a kaleidoscope dream full of colors and a vivid dream, and maybe some angel come and tell them what to do. This is completely fallacious and erroneous. This is wrong and baseless. That the purpose is to get a divine guidance via an inclination. When a person gets up, then he will be inclined. His heart will be inclined whether I should get married or not, whether I should buy or not, whether I should take that shop or not, whether I should leave the country or not, whether I should go in partnership with that person or not. So he'll have an inclination. And inclination also does not mean first night, after sleeping the first night, the inclination must come. Do it over a few nights, inshallah you will be guided.
Jazakumullah. Can one put on false teeth after sehri?
Yes, a person can put on false teeth after sehri, because that false teeth will be in the mouth and it will not obviously go down the throat. So he can put down false teeth. And if he does not want to wear the false teeth because he's not going to eat anything, then he can do that also. Because the teeth, I presume, are for eating, and this person is going to be fasting and not eating. But for comfort's sake, he can put on the false teeth. There is absolutely no difficulty. As far as Sharia is concerned, he may use the false teeth in the state of fasting.
Well, going back to the earlier question about the endowment policy, the brothers, sisters called in and said the endowment policy I have will be a payout.
still is not clear because we don't know the payout. The payout could be your premium plus your interest. So let us just say it's your premiums that you have been paying plus your interest. So that interest you will not use. The premium you will use because that is your money. The interest you take it and dispose of it. It is wajibut tasadduq. It is compulsory for you to distribute that to poor, needy areas and avenues where they can use it for to relieve themselves.
Well, I think this follows on to the next question then. How does one dispose of one's interest? Who do you give it to? Can it be given to a Muslim? And I think you've explained some of it already.
The interest can be given to a poor, needy, destitute Muslim or non-Muslim, or it can be given to build toilets, etc. You can utilize those money, not the masjid toilet. I must stress here. You cannot use the interest money to build the masjid or madrasa toilet.
And the next question you have, and we've dealt with this one as well, is I have a pension fund. I will only receive it when I resign. Do I pay zakat on it?
When, at the moment, you will not pay. You will not pay on the pension fund. But as soon as you receive your money, then you will pay on your the money you receive. However, if a person receives a pension fund, I'm completely in the dark about it. But if a person gets pension fund, normally what amount he will get?
Depends, you know, what the contributions are. You see, different companies have different ways. So, you know, it's a contribution which the employer and the employee does collectively, and then they put it into a fund, and that's the amount they get back. So it's
okay.
Different.
Let's say if a person, he gets 100,000 rand in January. Okay,
yeah.
He got 100,000 rand in January. Now, this does not, now, he can pay zakat on that money.
Yes.
That's a cautious view. He can take 2.5% of that and pay it out. Then he starts using up that money. And when he starts using, he goes and buys a house for 60,000, buys one small car. By the time the next January comes, then he does not have any money left, more than the nisab, then he does not have to pay zakat.
The next question is relating to something about Quran reading. It says, and the person who's affecting the question says that people should not be taking time out and stealing from employees' time, stealing company time to read the Quran.
This is very interesting, and this is a very valid point raised by the brother, that one is, we keep saying that the person must be paid well, and we say that the boss must pay well. But at the same time, we also must stress that the worker, the employee, he also must deliver the goods. He must not take 1 hour for lunch break and say his boss is going for salat, meanwhile he's going nowhere. That is also deception. But also, he must not during his working hours start now reading Quran officially and start what you call neglecting what he's supposed to be doing. However, if he is doing a manual work, and he is also, he knows Quran, he is a Hafiz, then he may, while doing the manual work, read Quran Kareem. But, well, if he is, for example, a salesman, and he decides, no, he is not going to be salesman for the next hour, he is reading Quran on the boss's time, then unfortunately, he is doing something which is absolutely illegal in the light of Sharia, because he is literally stealing the boss's time, and he is not supposed to be doing that. Quran, to read Quran is optional, rewarding, most rewarding, gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a person must not do an illegal act. He must not do an illegal act, that in this case, that he is taking the boss's time now and reading Quran and Kareem. Even performing of Nafil Salat, or he decides for the next hour, I am going to perform some zikr in the corner of this shop and not attend to my work which I am getting paid for. Yes, different matter, he tells his boss that, listen, for I would like 1 hour, I would like to go in the bank. And nowadays, many businessmen have got Jamaat Khanas on premises. Alhamdulillah. So, he tells his boss, see, I would like to read I want 1 hour off. I would like to go to the Jamaat Khana, our own Jamaat Khana, and I would like to rest. Or I would like to go and read Quran. Or I would like to go and make some zikr. And if the boss willingly gives permission, then it's good. But don't give the boss another story that, you know, this is the month of fasting, and this is the, give him a very big lengthy 1 hour bayan, and you put the boss in such a corner, if he is guilty, not by saying, you know, that is not right.
JazakAllah for that. And we're coming to the end of the program, but we've got a couple of more questions that have come in. We'll just answer those particular questions. Unfortunately, we cannot take on any more. Inshallah, next week, Mufti Saab will be in with us once again, where we'll be discussing the aspect of i'tikaf, because we're then coming closer to i'tikaf, just a couple of days away. And when you talk about i'tikaf, my mind's already racing. Have we gone so far and so fast? We're in the month of Ramadan Mubarak.
Yes.
And when I look and listen to the Quran al-Kareem and the Taraweeh, we realize that on Monday night we'll be reading the 15th para, so half the Ramadan is almost gone. And how much, I'm talking to myself, how much have I really gone and exerted myself for the month of Ramadan Mubarak? We look forward to Ramadan with so much anticipation, so much fervor. And before we realize the month is on us, and when we look again, it's gone. You know, it's just flown fast.
Yeah, I want to mention one point before we take those questions brought in by Molada about Taraweeh Salat. In many areas, they have three para Quran Taraweeh. And in many areas, we have Taraweeh Salat in those small Jamaat Khanas or in the homes, etc. They complete the recitation of the Quran. Now, this does not mean to those followers who went to that Jamaat Khana or to went to that masjid where they had three paras of Quran, this does not mean Taraweeh has ended. This does not definitely mean now I've got chutti and I do not have to make Taraweeh. Taraweeh is sunnat e muakida, 20 rakats, sunnat e muakida throughout the month of Ramadan. That is why those some masjids have now gone on to say that they will design their pace in such a way they will complete the Quran on the 29th night. Because we find that even those masjids where they complete on the 27th, that the brothers do not want to come on the 28th night for Taraweeh Salat. So we should be very cautious about this. That after completion of Quran in 10 nights, it does not mean the end of Taraweeh Salat. This does not mean now we do not have to go to the masjid for Taraweeh Salat. But on the other hand, I must stress, and we have to praise Allah Ta'ala, that this year, Alhamdulillah, our masajid and Jamaat Khanas are relatively full compared to last year even. Alhamdulillah, brothers are still coming for Taraweeh Salat. We make an appeal that be regular, like how you have been regular, and we make an appeal to the ladies and women folk that make sure that your husbands, they don't sit in front of the televisions, etc., in their homes, but they go out and perform their Salat, Taraweeh Salat.
I had some funds last Ramadan. In the last 6 months, I received additional funds. How do I work out my zakat?
You will put your additional funds with those funds, and inshallah, you will calculate on that escalated amount or that added amount. For example, you had 20,000 rand, and now, alhamdulillah, you got another 20, and you were calculating zakat. Although that second 20 did not experience one lunar year in your possession, but because of the contact it has with the 20,000 which was with you for one lunar year, it gets the same status. This is from this masala, we prove another masala that the superiority and the status and position of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Because they had contact with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they became Sahaba. And because of the contact with the noble being of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they reached such a high and noble status. So your first 20,000 was with you for one lunar year. And your second 20 came. But because your second 20 has contact with the first 20 which was with you for one lunar year, then alhamdulillah, because of the sohbat, because of the contact, it got the status that you have to pay zakat on.
I owe some people money. Can I receive zakat for the people I'm owing money to?
Yes, you owe people money, and now because you are in debt and you are one recipient of zakat, and you can receive the zakat and pay out. Once you receive the zakat in your possession, then you can even feed the person who gave you the zakat. So once you get the zakat in your possession and you become owner of it, you can go and pay out your debts. But my advice is, please pay out your debts when you get that money.
The very last question for this afternoon is, the lady says, I've lent my husband 100,000 rand, which he used towards the bond of our house. He said, when I need it, he will give it to me, or in the event of his death, it is noted that it is a loan to be paid back to me. Do I pay zakat on it? Does she pay zakat on that money?
Very simple. You are living with your husband, you know your husband's financial power and position, unless he is also doing some upland transaction which you don't know about. If you know your husband's financial power and strength, then you know that this is a solid refundable loan that you have given to your husband. In that case, you will regard it as your asset and pay zakat on it. However, if you know that your husband does not have that 100,000 and you are not going to be paid out, and definitely your husband does not have the financial ability and capacity to pay you back your 100,000, then you do not have to pay on it. But yeah, I think inshallah your husband should be in that position to pay out your 100,000, because he has made a statement that whenever you want it, I can give it back to you, meaning that he has got sufficient financial power and resources to pay you back. So the safe thing is to pay zakat on it.
Jazakumullah for that. We've come to the end of another very interesting session with Mufti Afzal Ilyas. And like I said, yes, the last analogy he was drawing is always brings up and says, from Islam you find you learn so many things. And I say, definitely we're not too old to learn. We've been learning, and inshallah we continue. And that is what Radio Islam has been established for. It is your learning station. It is here for you to learn, and together we will grow. Inshallah, now 24 minutes after 3, and coming up in a couple of minutes, we'll have our pledge line for this afternoon. I'm sure they're waiting in the wings for us. I'm not sure if I'm going to be part of that pledge line, but definitely the other brothers will be in, and we'll take you through until just before 5 o'clock. Inshallah. Jazakallah once again, Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum.